Thank you all for the opportunity to preach this morning. It's exciting. I haven't got to preach as much this year, and I didn't know that I would be preaching for my job. I thought that being an elder was kind of like Congress. It was like a lifetime appointment. Like once you're in, you're in. But apparently that's not the case. So it's awesome to be able to talk with you this morning about connection. We're in a series called The Connected Life. And this morning, as we sing about Jesus Christ being the living hope, our goal today is to figure out how we can connect what often feels like dead and hopeless life into the living hope that is Jesus Christ. Because if we come in this morning just to consume, we may not connect. So my goal this morning is not that we would come in and hear great music and hear a good message and go home and say, man, I consumed some great stuff this morning. I want us to be able to go home and say, man, this morning at Easton Life Church, I connected with the living hope that's Jesus Christ. That's the goal this morning. If we don't connect, then we've missed the mark because God wants to connect with us. Amen? The Bible says that Jesus Christ did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world may be saved through him. So if you're in this place this morning and you come in feeling disconnected, the truth is God wants to connect with you and he wants to connect with me today. So we're going to do that this morning. We're going to go ahead and open up the scripture. We're going to be in John chapter 15. John chapter 15, Jesus is speaking and he's going to talk to us about connection. And I've only got 3 points today, 3 quick and easy points. Well, quick may be a lie, but they're pretty easy. 3 points today about the connected life, all right? We're going to look this morning at the scope of connection. So we're going to look at the big picture. We're going to look at the scope of connection. We're going to look at the source of connection. And we're going to look at the structure of connection. So 3 points. We're going to get through these this morning, and God's going to connect with us. In John chapter 15, let's look at the scope. So I want to set the stage a little bit before we jump into the scripture. So Jesus is speaking, and Jesus is speaking to his 11 disciples at the Last Supper the night before he's crucified. So the reason there aren't 12 disciples at this point is because where we are in the scripture, Judas Iscariot has already left the dinner, and he is on his way to collect his money in exchange for turning Jesus over to the authorities. So now the disciples are down to 11 of them. And there's 11 of Jesus' disciples in this room. And these men have been following Jesus, connected with him, over the last 3 or so years of ministry. And Jesus knows that within 8 hours of this dinner that they're having right now, that these 11 men, save for one or two, are going to run away in fear. They're going to deny Jesus. And they're going to be absent in the very moment that Jesus needs them the most. And Jesus knows that when they blow it, when they disconnect from him, and when he is crucified, he knows what's going to happen in their heart. He knows that when they see the disconnection, when they see the failure, they're going to think it's over and that there's no hope for them anymore. In fact, when they see Jesus die, they're going to believe that their hope is now dead. But they don't have the privilege of knowing what we know today, that Jesus Christ doesn't stay dead, he's alive. Amen? And our hope is alive this morning, and that hope is still living as we sing about. But in this moment, Jesus is preparing them for their failure. Anybody in this room today want to raise your hand and just confess, man, I've let Jesus down. I've failed him. He's connected with me, and I've disconnected. I've blown it. And maybe you're in this place today. See, I know on a Sunday morning, right here in the Bible Belt, there's people in churches today just like ours on a Sunday morning. And you're here, and you're present. And you're seeing the worship, and you're hearing the worship, and you're hearing the word, and you're reading the word, but man, in your heart, you're not connected. In your heart, you're disconnected. And you feel separated from God. And maybe you remember, just like those disciples did, you remember that time when you walked with Jesus, and you were connected with Jesus, but man, along the way, at some point, you blew it. And you jumped off the train, and it kept going without you. And now you sit here this morning, and you're here, but you're not connected. And Jesus is going to tell these disciples something that I think really helps set the stage for the scope of connection, because I want us all to see this scripture and realize that Jesus has a word for you today, and Jesus has a word for me today. Listen to what Jesus says to these disciples right before they are ready to betray him and run away. He tells them, I am the true vine. He says, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. He says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Verse 3. He says, already, I want y'all to say the word already. Let me know you're awake. Already. Already. I know the government stole an hour from you. You know, can we just agree that the government has just overreached their authority? Like, they can take all the money out of my paycheck they want. When you start taking my sleep, you done gone too far. Doggone. We're all tired this morning. And half the people on this side of the room are probably still sleeping. But praise God, we are here. He says to the disciples, get this, before they blow it, before they try to disconnect, he tells them, already you are clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. Can I say something to you this morning from the word of God? We are not clean because we clean ourselves up and keep ourselves clean. We are clean because of what God has done in the lives of dirty people like you and me. Right? This morning, you may feel like you've blown it and you failed. You may feel like you're not a good enough person to walk into church today. You may be afraid the building is going to collapse down on top of you if somebody finds out what you've done. Let me speak something to you today. Jesus wants to connect with you, and Jesus wants to clean you up, and it's not something that you have to do yourselves. You don't have to manufacture it. You don't have to try to work it out and make Jesus happy. We're here this morning connected because Jesus did the work. Jesus spoke that word in me that cleaned me up. It isn't something I had to do myself. And right here, on the eve of their failure, Jesus reassures them, you are already clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. I want to talk to you this morning about connection and the picture of connection that Jesus is giving us. He says in this word that he is the vine. Michael, can we get the picture up on the screens today? I want us to get a visual of what Jesus is saying here. So Jesus is using something that in this day would have been very common for them to understand. We're going to put a picture this morning in just a few minutes of a vine. There it is, all right. I don't know who that good-looking guy was up there before, but that's a vine right there, praise God. Jesus is talking about a vine, and interestingly enough, there's a good likelihood that between the time that Jesus is speaking with his disciples at the dinner, and then they leave the dinner that night and they walk towards the Garden of Gethsemane where Jesus is going to be praying and the disciples fall asleep. You remember that story right before he's crucified, right before he gets betrayed? They would have walked right past Herod's temple. And on the temple, history tells us there was a big sculpture, an inscription of a vine, a grapevine, that would have looked very similar to this. And Jesus is using this picture to help give them an illustration of what connection with him actually looks like. And in this picture, he tells them that Jesus is the true vine. Do you all see the vine right there in the middle of the plant? The big strong stalk right there in the middle. Jesus is saying to them, hey, that's me. I'm the source of life. I'm where all the good stuff comes from. And he says that you and I and the disciples are the branches and that we are connected to him as branches are connected to the vine. And he said that his Father is the vine dresser. His Father, God, is the one who makes sure that this thing grows and bears fruit. Because fruit is what is going to prove that we have been saved and changed. Anybody in this room been saved and changed by Jesus Christ? The Bible tells us that there should be evidence of that in the way we live and in the way we speak. If we've been saved, our lives should show it. The fruit doesn't save us, but the fruit proves that we've been saved. Do you see the difference? Jesus is telling them that I'm the vine, you're the branches, and through me, because you're connected to me, you are clean and your lives are going to bear fruit. And he's showing them this picture because he knows they're about to blow it. And he talks about his Father being the vine dresser, and I want to share something with y'all. This is a really neat picture of connection because we're going to talk today about the scope of connection, the source of connection, and the structure of connection. But I want you to see what it is God does in our lives. So, branches connected to the vine are also connected to, you see the structure that it's on? It looks like a fence. In that day, they called it a trellis. In that day, it was called a trellis, and that's what helped the branch grow. But sometimes in the life of a grapevine, the branches will disconnect themselves from the trellis, and they will actually begin to grow along the ground. That is the natural tendency of a grapevine branch. It'll grow along the ground, and if it grows along the ground long enough, it'll actually begin to bury itself down into the ground, into the mud. And in your scripture, if you look back in John chapter 15, where we are today, and you look at verses 1, 2, and 3, the Bible describes the process that the vine dresser will do when the branch disconnects and grows down into the ground. Now, your version may say that he will cut away the ones that don't bear fruit. Some say that he will take them away. Whatever your scripture says, I want you to understand what that means in verses 1, 2, and 3. The Bible talks about what happens when we disconnect and we begin to bury our lives back into the mud that we've been rescued from. The word that's being used, Michael, let's put verse 2 back on the board. The word that's being used in verse 2, when it says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Here's what that doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that when we blow it, when we know Jesus as our Savior, but then we blow it just like the disciples are about to blow it, it doesn't mean that our chance is over and God's done with us. Amen? If you read it on the surface, it sort of looks like that. But if you dig in a little deeper, you'll find that the verb that he uses here for the word takes away, or your version may say cuts, is the Greek word iro. Can everybody say iro? Let me know you're awake. Iro, not I roll. I roll is what my nearly teenage daughter does to me when I ask her to do something. This is iro, A-I-R-O. And this word doesn't mean to remove. It actually means to lift up and pull up. You see, what the vine dresser would do when the branch would disconnect from the trellis and bury itself down into the dirt, or maybe we can make it real in our lives, when we disconnect from God and we disconnect from the church and we begin to blow it and we begin to live our lives like we did before we knew Jesus. Anybody ever slipped up and done that before? We begin to go back into those old sin patterns. The Bible says our chance is not over. God is not done with us. It says that God, the vine dresser, will literally lift us up out of the mud, and he will carry us back to where we need to be. If you look up A-I-R-O, the Greek word, on the internet, if you look it up on your smartphone right now, you'll find that definition literally means to lift up and to bear the burden or to carry. You know, the disciples were about to blow it, and Jesus is already telling them, hey, you're already clean because of the word I've spoken, and I'm about to lift up and carry the failures that you can't. And if you're in this place this morning and you're carrying around a bunch of failure and shame and sin and guilt, but you know Jesus is your Savior, understand that God's goal this morning is not to disconnect you, it's to reconnect you. And that's what God wants to do. That's the scope. That's the scope of connection. Let's go to number two. Let's talk about the source of connection. Let's talk about the source of connection. Michael, let's put the picture back on the board. So Jesus is the vine. You and I are the branches, and God is the vine dresser. But let's focus right now for just a few minutes on the source of connection, the vine. Jesus says that he is the vine, or he is the source. But if you go back to verse 1, he doesn't just call himself the vine. What does he call himself in verse 1? He calls himself the true vine. And if there are true vines, by definition, that must mean that there might also be other vines that we could connect to that are not true vines. Y'all see where I'm going? You see, Jesus reminds them that he is the true vine. In fact, just about one chapter earlier, in John chapter 14, verse 6, he said it this way. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. What Jesus is letting us in on is the secret that there's a lot of things out there in the world that we can connect ourselves to. There's a lot of things that we can connect to and try to receive life from, but Jesus says that he is the only true vine. Jesus is the only way that we can truly get life. And if you see in this picture, where do the branches get the life from? Do they get the life from the trellis? Do they get the life from the fence? No, they get it from their connection with the vine. This is where our connection comes from. And I want to talk about what we connect ourselves to this morning. I want to talk about connection because I think in our world, we've confused connection a little bit. Amen? Anybody got a smartphone? Somebody give me a smartphone. Dave, yours is an iPhone. I don't know how to use Android, so somebody give me an iPhone. There we go. There we go. All right, good deal. We converted Dave over to iPhone. Praise God. In our world, in one very real sense, we are more connected than we've ever been. In one sense, we are, Dave, you're connected right now. BJ just texted you. I'll read it to you later. See, BJ's not even here. He's at work, but we're connected. BJ's connected to Dave right now. In a sense, right? In a sense, we're extremely connected. And I would imagine, based on statistics, based on what I know to be true in my own life, one of the ways I most connect with people is through this thing. And I can sit down and I can scroll, and in an hour's time, I can connect with hundreds of people in a matter of minutes. And I can consume information that I would otherwise never have been connected to 20 years ago without this thing. In one very real sense, we are more connected than we've ever been. And on the surface, that should be a good thing, amen? Because we can use this thing to connect with people across the world. We can use this thing to share the gospel. These things are not necessarily bad, but I think we all understand that deep down, this connection is not really, truthfully real. Because when I get myself lodged into this thing and I connect with people all across the world, I'm disconnecting with the people that God's put in my circle that I should most be connected with. You see, in our world, we have confused connection with consumption. We have made a habit out of consuming information from people that we believe that we are connected with, but in reality, I believe that the enemy has used this as a tool to disconnect us from the people that God has put in our lives that we are responsible to the most. This can be a tool of connection, but I believe we've made it a tool of disconnection and consumption. The connection that God has called us to is not merely to receive information. And I believe that because we have habitualized this false type of connection, we have carried this into church with us. Can I talk about it for a second? I believe that because we have addicted ourselves to consumption and we need to constantly be stimulated by consuming information off of a screen, when we walk into church, sometimes we are guilty of coming into the building and we sit down not to connect with God and not to connect with people, but to consume what can be presented to us. And when we turn church into a tool for consumption, we lose connection. And Jesus is telling us in John chapter 15 that life is not about information to consume. It's not about followers to get online. Life, it does not consist in the number of likes and subscribers that you can get. Life is about connecting to the only true source of life. Jesus tells us here that life is only found when we are connected to Him. And He says that He is the true vine. And I want to talk about sources for a second, because I want to talk to you about something that I believe we do and that we say that can be a mistake. I hear this all the time, and I've been a Christian now for about 12 or 13 years, and I've been very active in church, and sometimes I'll hear other Christians, and I know it's well-meaning, but they'll say things like this. They'll say, "Dave, the only way that you'll ever be happy is if you connect with Jesus. The only way that you'll ever enjoy life, the only way that you'll ever have a good life is if you connect with Jesus." And that sort of sounds right, but the problem is that when we look out into the world, sometimes it looks like they're having more fun out there than we're having in here. And when we begin to disconnect in our hearts from Jesus, man, we look out into the world and we see people with money and we see people with careers and we see people with followers and we see people with influence and we see people with perfect marriages and perfect relationships. And man, I look at that sometimes, and don't we all struggle with the temptation to look out into the world and go, "Man, I need to connect with that. I need to disconnect from the church and I need to connect with what's out here." Because man, sometimes church is hard and work is hard, and God, people, sometimes I'll tell you, being a Christian is not always easy. You see, Jesus did not promise them that when we connect with the vine that life would be easy. He promised us that we would find life and that we would find joy. And in verse 11, He tells us that joy will be full, but He didn't tell us our circumstances would be good. He didn't tell us life would always be easy. And the temptation is to disconnect from here and to connect out there. You see, what we connect to really defines who we are. What we connect to defines the life that we receive. You see, Jesus is making a statement. He says that when the branches are connected to the vine, life flows through the vine to the branches. And when we connect ourselves to false vines out there in the world, the life from them, whatever that may be, will flow from them into us. And we will lie to ourselves, and we'll say that it doesn't affect us, don't we? And it always starts small. We'll start missing a church service here and there. We'll stop giving. We'll stop serving, we'll start wandering out into the world a little bit, and we'll start receiving the life that comes from that. But the Bible tells us that when sin is conceived, when that little seed of sin is planted, it always brings forth something. What does it bring forth? Is it life? When sin is conceived, the Bible tells us it always brings forth death. You see, the consequence of connecting to something out there other than Jesus is that ultimately, at the end of it all, no matter how successful you may be, no matter how big you make it, no matter how much influence you think you have, at the end of the day, we learn in John chapter 15, Jesus says, hey, the branches that are not connected to the vine, the ultimate end for them is to be thrown into the fire and burned. And none of us want to think about that. None of us love to talk about that. But the reality is, one of the reasons that we don't connect with the things out there in the world is that because Jesus tells us our eternity is at stake. It's not just about today. It's not just about the here and now. It's about forever. Jesus is not merely concerned about us having an easy life and a good life here on earth. He's concerned about our joy. He's concerned about our ultimate eternity and our ultimate destiny. I want to ask you this morning, is that something that you think about? When you lay your head on that pillow at night before you go to sleep, do you think about where you would be if your life in this earth ended and you met Jesus and you stood before Him? It's a scary thought, but church, every one of us are going to have to do it. It's an appointment the Bible tells us that every one of us have, and it's not one that we can put off or that we can miss. We are all going to stand before God, and the question is not going to be how many followers we had, how many people did we connect with, how much fun did we have, how successful were we. The question is, are you a branch connected to the vine? And if we are found connected to anything other than Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us the outcome is not going to be good. And I want to encourage you this morning, don't only think about that, but think about life as you are right now. Many of us come into this place this morning, and we would admit readily that in our lives, we are connected to things out there we know we need not be connected to, and that the life is flowing from them into us. It could be substances, it could be addictions to sex, it could be relationships. We could be pulling life from other people, and it never works. Amen? You see, when I make my life about being connected to somebody, if Pastor Brian, if I say, you know what? My hope is in Pastor Brian, and I'm going to connect myself to Pastor Brian, and if he succeeds, I succeed, and if he fails, I fail, and my life's going to be all about him. Not only is that really not fair to him, but Pastor Brian was never meant to be the source of life for me. Now, I know none of y'all are probably doing that, but let's think about our relationships. Let's think about our marriages. Why don't they work sometimes? It's because we disconnect from God and we expect this other person to be the vine, to be the source of life in their place, and it never works. Life only comes through Jesus Christ. And if you're in this place today and you've got that sense of longing, you've got that sense of disconnection in your life, if you've got this sense that things simply aren't right, if you're in this place this morning and we go through this time of worship and you're hearing the word today and you're going, yeah, in my head this all sounds right, but in my heart there's a disconnection. I don't feel what I'm hearing. I don't see in my life what I'm hearing, but I just don't know how to bridge that gap. My challenge to you is that it's probably the Holy Spirit telling you that there are things out there you need to disconnect from, and that you need to get connected to the only true source of life. Only in Jesus Christ will this thing work. He is the source. He is the true vine. And isn't it amazing that in verse 11, Michael, let's put verse 11 on the board. He actually tells us at the very end of the scripture, he says that he's telling us these things about the source of connection, that our joy may be full. Do y'all know what joy is? Joy is defined not simply as happiness based on circumstances, but our standing in spite of circumstances. Let me give you an example. On March 28th of last year, March 28th, 2019, it was a day I will never forget for the rest of my life. In fact, the one-year anniversary is coming up, and I've been thinking a lot about this because something that God has revealed to me in my life is that I have a tendency to want to connect to my status, to my success. And how I see myself is really dependent upon how successful I think I am. And I've always been very, very career focused. And a year ago, I had a good job and it paid good money and I had good insurance and everything in life was good. My circumstances were good, which meant I was good, okay? And on March 28th, I got a phone call. My boss called me that morning. He said, I got bad news. The company's restructuring. We're laying you off. You're not going to work here anymore. And I felt my connection to my security and my connection to my hope and my connection to my provider, I felt it break. And I went, oh man, this is not good. And I begin to have those fears set in. How am I going to feed my four kids? How am I going to continue to pay my mortgage? What's going to change in life? Am I going to have to borrow money from Pastor Brian? God, there's got to be something better than this. It scared me to death. And you know, when I would talk to people like Pastor Brian and some of my mentors, and they would always tell me the same thing. They'd say, brother, I've been here. I've seen this before. I've seen it a dozen times. God's going to provide for you. God's going to take care of you. He's going to sustain you. And at the end of this thing, you're going to recognize how much bigger God is than you realize right now. They'd all tell me the same thing, but I never wanted to hear it. And the reason they could say those things, but I had no peace, is because they already were connected to God as their provider. But in my life, I had reconnected myself to the wrong vine. My provider was my job and my company and my career. And when that connection was severed, there was a hole in my heart. There was a hole in my life. And that's something God had to teach me. You see, when my job was gone, I had to connect to Jesus as my provider. Because I couldn't do anything about my circumstances. I couldn't change it. I couldn't go back and change the past, but I had to deal with the present. And Jesus was there. And Jesus provided, and I want to give God glory. He provided. We never did without a meal. We didn't lose our house, praise God. We didn't have to move in with Pastor Brian, praise God. God has been so good. He's been so good. And you see this picture in the vine. Michael, let's put it back up there. Michael's finger's getting tired from having to click that mouse so many times. Michael, let's put the picture of the vine back on the TV here. You know, most of how we feel depends on our outward circumstances. Whether we're happy today, whether we're coming in kind of depressed and down and worried, maybe we're anxious, we're stressed out, we attribute most of that to what goes on around us. How's home look? How's our marriage look? How's our job look? How the kids doing? What's the checking account look like? Those are the things that we think about that really affect us. But Jesus tells us in this picture, I'm the vine. I'm the source. You're the branches. Church, this plant right here, as long as those branches stay connected to that vine, they will not lose life as long as the connection is there. You see what I'm saying? A tornado could rip through that vine right there, and if those branches stay connected, they have life. Their circumstances may look different. What's on the outside may look different, but they still have life, and that life has not changed. Amen? Fruit will still come from that plant. Church, our relationship with Jesus Christ is the same way. I don't know where you are in your life today. Your circumstances may be a mess, and you may come to this altar this morning to pray, and you may be praying about your circumstances, and the Bible tells us that we're to do that. We're to pray to God about what is bothering us, but church, here's what I can't promise you. I can't stand here today and promise you that if you'll connect with Jesus, that your circumstances will instantly get better. I can't promise you that you'll get a bigger paycheck. I can't promise you that all your broken relationships will be restored. I can't promise you that you won't still struggle with anxiety or that you won't still struggle with addiction. I can't promise you those things, and neither does Jesus. But what I can promise you is that when you connect to the vine, when you connect to the source, when you connect to the Jesus, I can promise you you'll have life. And I can promise you that you can have joy. That's what I can promise you on the authority of God's Word. So if you're in this place today and you say, you know what, Pastor, I don't have that and I want it, you have the opportunity today. Jesus Christ changed a man's life last night. For the first time in his life, he connected with Jesus. And you're going to have that opportunity today. So we've talked this morning. We've talked this morning about the scope of connection. We've talked about the source of connection. And I want to finish by talking about the structure of connection. I want to ask y'all this morning, I want you to raise your hand if you are a person who loves and thrives on structure. I'm talking about you purposely set your alarm because you enjoy getting up. You like having a routine. You like having people in your life to kind of keep you in line. You like things to be a certain way. You like to know what's coming. You like to plan. You like to make lists. You like to cross things off the list when you finish. These are elements of structure. And only about 15% of the population are people that actually enjoy and seek out structure. The rest of us just kind of take life as it comes, all right? We're just kind of like, hey, I don't really know what I'm going to be doing tomorrow, but I'll be doing something, and I'll figure it out when I get there. My boss, praise God, she always asks the same question. I've learned to be prepared for it. When I see her name pop up on my caller ID in the morning, I know what she's going to ask me. She always asks me, Blake, what's your plan for today? And I've learned that she doesn't like it when I don't have an answer. Because she is a structure person, and she knows that we can only thrive when we live within the confines of structure. Let me put it another way. Let me give you a picture. How many roller coaster people I got in the room? Roller coaster fans? Pastor Brian, praise God, he loves roller coasters. I've never seen a middle-aged man get so excited to get on the Thunderbird, but that dude will wait an extra 45 minutes just to ride the front row of the Thunderbird. He loves it. It's the most fun we have. I love roller coasters, but I'm terrified of heights. But heights never bother me when I'm on a roller coaster. But several years ago, I went to Gatlinburg, and I got up in the Space Needle. Y'all seen the Space Needle in Gatlinburg? I think it's false advertising. I don't think it actually goes into space, but it is pretty tall. I don't know how tall it is, but it's taller than I want to be. I don't want to be that high off the ground. The weird thing I noticed about myself, the thing that I've learned, is that a roller coaster can go 1,000 feet in the air, plummet to the earth at 1,000 miles an hour, and I will love every second of it. I don't care how high it goes, how fast it goes, I am down for the ride. However it wants to do, I'm ready for it. I love roller coasters. But you put me on the Space Needle and ask me to walk around and peer over that fence, I will have crippling terror. I can't do it. I'm scared to death of it. And I figured out what the difference is. The difference between terror and happiness in those circumstances is the harness. In a roller coaster, I'm strapped in and I've got this thing I can hang on to, and no matter how fast that thing goes, I'm secured because there is a structure in place to keep me secured. On the Space Needle, I can slip on a banana peel and plummet 400 feet to the earth and it'd be a real bad day, and that horrifies me. I don't know who's eating bananas on the Space Needle, just ignore that. When you speak publicly, your brain takes you to weird places, but that's what I'm scared of. There's no structure up there. In fact, when I get up on that thing, I will generally stay planted to the wall like this because I can feel the structure. The structure gives us the freedom to enjoy things that would otherwise be difficult or dangerous. That's the role of structure. It enables us to accomplish more than we could accomplish with no structure. And in this picture of the vine and the branches and the vine dresser, we see a really cool picture of the structure that we are called to live in. In our world today, because we have replaced connection with consumption, we have turned church not into a place to connect and a people to connect to, but instead a theater where we can come consume. And the problem is, when we treat our relationship with Jesus Christ and when we treat our relationship with His church as a tool for consumption to satisfy me versus a place and a people to live among in structure provided by God, we don't produce the fruit that God has called us to produce. Does that make sense? I want to show you a couple of pictures, all right? Michael, let's put the first picture on the board. This right here is a grapevine. Now, what you see is that on this grapevine, there are tons of branches and there's tons of growth. We can all agree that's alive, right? That's not a dead grapevine. It's alive. And is it growing? Absolutely. What's the problem with this grapevine? What's it not producing? And what's the one thing that God wants us producing in our lives? He wants us producing fruit that proves that we have been saved and changed by Him. He says that when we live within the structure of the relationship that He's given us, we'll produce fruit. But right here, you don't see any fruit. All you see are overgrown branches on this grapevine. In fact, it's so overgrown, you can't even see the source anymore. You can't even see the vine. All you see are branches and leaves everywhere. You see, the structure that Jesus is talking about with the disciples in John chapter 15, as it correlates to the structure of the grapevine and the branches, I believe that He's speaking not only of our relationship with God, who He calls the vine dresser, the one who gives the structure and the shape to the branches. I believe the trellis is a representation of the church. I believe that we are created not simply to be in relationship with God, but we are created specifically to be in relationship and in connection with God and with God's church. You see, we all agree this morning that Jesus wants to have a personal relationship with me and you. Can we agree with that? Jesus wants to have a personal relationship, you and Him. He wants His Holy Spirit to dwell in your heart as a new believer, as a new creation in Christ Jesus. He wants to connect with you, but church, it's more than that. Our relationship with Jesus Christ is personal, absolutely, but it is not private. We were never called to have a private, secretive relationship with Jesus Christ. And when we enter into relationship with Jesus Christ, if we do it the way that God has prescribed within the culture that God has created and the structure that God wants us to exist in, when we say yes to Jesus, we're not just saying yes to a connection with Jesus, we're saying yes to a connection with the structures that Jesus has put in place for us to bear fruit. You see, I believe in the church today, a problem that we have is that many, many people have prayed to receive Jesus as their Savior. They've connected to the vine, but our lives look like this. They're overgrown and chaotic and they're crowded, and you can't even see God in the picture anymore because we have said no to the structure that Jesus has put in place for us. And it sounds kind of like this. Well, I love Jesus, and I know I'm a Christian, but I don't really want believe in organized religion. I don't really want to be a part of a church because those people are hypocrites. I've been hurt before by those people. I've been hurt by the church. I don't believe those people are authentic. Let me ask you that. I got any sports fans in the room? Any St. Louis Cardinals fans? Praise God. Let's hear it. The rest of y'all need to get saved, all right? Thank you for the few of you that are connected to the true vine. You know something I never worry about when I buy St. Louis Cardinals tickets? I never worry about the mindset or the behavior of the other people that are going to be in the stadium with me. I never worry how they act. In fact, the last time I was at a Cardinals game, we sat in the cheap seats. We paid more for the food than we paid for the tickets. And we had a drunk guy take his shirt off, jump onto the field, and get tackled by 3 security guys. And you know what? It was awesome. You know what I didn't think? Here's what I didn't think. I didn't look around and go, man, these people, these other Cardinal fans, I can't respect them. I don't think I can connect with this team, and I don't really think I want to come to games anymore just because I don't really respect the behavior and the lifestyle of these other fans. I love the team. I love the players. I love the environment. I want to be there. And if there's a few idiots in the crowd, praise God, I was once an idiot too, and he's working on me. He's changing me. I don't worry about what other people are doing because I know that I want to be connected. Because life flows through the connection. Church, most of us, not only have we confused connection with consumption, we've confused activity with productivity. Most of our lives are so overgrown and busy because we function outside of the structure that God has for us that our lives look like this, and we got all this activity. And if there's a sport, my kids are going to play it. And if there's a video game, I'm going to buy it. And if there's a game, I'm going to watch it. If there's an event, I'm going to go to it. If there's a ministry, I'm going to be in it. If there's something happening, I'm going to be there. If there's a new thing, I'm going to buy it. And I find myself in debt and exhausted and worn out, and my life is just a big clustered mess, and all my relationships are screwed up, and I never have time to connect with my kids, and my marriage is in trouble, and man, I go to church and I don't really feel connected, and I'm so busy and I got all this stuff going on. I just want God to slow things down. God, why is my life such a mess? I'm doing all this stuff and there's no fruit and there's no connection. And I think what God would tell us is that we may have said yes to the connection with the source, but we often say no to the structure God has in place for us. It's not about religion. It's not about trying to make God happy. It's about doing what God wants us to do and complying with His rule in our lives. He connects us to the trellis, and it says that God is the vine dresser. Anybody in the room grow a garden? All right, we got a few of you. What happens if you plant the seed, water it, and then don't touch it for the next 6 years? What happens? Weeds. Do you get a lot of fruit? Or vegetables? I don't know what grows in the garden. Steak would be ideal. I don't know if that's a thing. You get a lot of life. You get weeds, you get vines, you get branches, you get plants, you get all this stuff. And you may get a little fruit and you may get a little vegetables here and there. But you don't really get to reap a good harvest because you haven't maintained it. Church, the role of the vine dresser in John chapter 15, when a branch would be established onto the trellis, it'd be pulled up out of the mud, it'd be reconnected, it'd be put on the trellis. It says that the vine dresser was responsible to tend to the vine, to tend to the branches. And sometimes that involved things like pruning and cutting and bending and breaking. Sometimes the branches will grow the wrong direction, and the vine dresser will literally have to come in and bend the branch back around the trellis to bend or even break the branch to get it to grow in the right way. Sometimes the vine dresser will come in with his shears and he will actually cut off pieces of the branch that are growing but not producing fruit. Church, listen to me. We've talked this morning about the person in the room who's down in the mud. Maybe you've never been connected to Jesus before. Or maybe you connected with him years ago, but you just don't feel that connection anymore, and you've got no structure in your life, and it's time for you to get that connection back. It's time to get things right this morning. But I also want to talk to the church member. I want to talk to the Christian whose life looks like this. It is overgrown and chaotic, and you don't even see or feel God anymore because of all the craziness. I want to invite you this morning to recognize where we're at, and to say, you know what? I'm ready for God to come into my life and to bend some things and to break some things and to cut some things out. And church, let me tell you something. That can be a painful process. Any of you ever had God come in and cut something out of your life you weren't ready to part with? Maybe it was that unhealthy relationship that he just said, that's enough, no more, it's over. He cuts it out. Maybe it's how we live with our finances, whatever it is. Maybe God comes in and he tries to bend or break some things to get them to grow in the right direction. Church, if you look at your life and you don't see fruit growing, there's only one of two options that could be true for you. Either you're not connected to the vine, or you're connected, but there's no structure. Let me tell you about the value that the Church of Jesus Christ offers to the world today. We may not be the best musicians in the world, although I think we're pretty doggone good, Pastor. I'm going to go ahead and ask the band to come forward. We may not be the best music that you'll hear anywhere. I may not be the best preacher you'll ever hear. We may not be the best facility that you can find. We may not be the best, the brightest. We may not have the prettiest. We may not have the most money. But let me tell you what the church can offer you today. If your life is chaotic, and you're dealing with constant anxiety because life feels like this right here, the church, and this church, I believe specifically, is a place where you can not only connect with Jesus Christ, and that's the first step. You can connect with Jesus Christ, but you can also enter into a relationship with a church family who will help you in that connection to grow. And when we are in connection together as a church family and we function within the structure that God has given us and we open ourselves up to allow God to cut things out of our lives that are not helpful for us and to bend things and to redirect things in our lives that are growing in the wrong direction. Church, I won't promise you that it's easy, but I will promise you that you'll find life, and in 1 year life will look different than it did a year ago.